just a commitment here that we would have the marriage of prayer and missions. Throughout the Bible and church history, there's a clear connection between a strong ministry of prayer and doing missions. When I say missions, I primarily mean the targeted call of the Great Commission, making disciples. It's everything to us. We want to do nothing else. For all the generations we're doing, we're committed to prayer and to making disciples. Jesus weds the two together in his personal life and really most clearly in Matthew 9 before he sends out the 12. Matthew 9, 37 through 38, famous verse among us where it says that then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Clearly from all the movements in church history, starting with the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we have, you know, the great first outbreak of missionary movement happens from a 10-day prayer meeting, Acts 1:14, where they were praying together. Then Pentecost falls and 3,000 people, new disciples, are brought in. Every true revival meeting in church history was birthed in prayer, as we often bring attention to. But prayer and mission should be together. And there's a diabolical attack to get these two to divorce, to either neglect the two of them, or if you do them, to only do one or do the other. And so we're real committed to seeing the merger of those. I was just in California meeting with some mission guys the last week, and I went up to the U.S. Center of World Missions and William Carey College. It was started by Ralph Winter. If you don't know that name, real pronounced, strong missionary leader from California, and he set this base up out there. And there's a prayer ministry working with the missions ministries. I went into the prayer in the middle of Thursday afternoon, five people, one guy on a keyboard, just praying and worshiping. And then there were missionary leaders from the Joshua Project and multiple other missions that were meeting together. And it was all happening on this one base. And I just loved the place. It seemed weak, but it was beautiful because there you have people ready to reach the unreached nations and the lost, and then people committed to prayer. And they're trying to merge the two together. There's been an attack on the enemy to get these to divorce. In fact, the monastic hiddenness was one extreme of this. Monasteries, and some good stuff came out of them, but if you read church history, there was kind of a movement into monasticism, which was a real commitment to prayer, but mission was lost in the middle of that to certain degrees. On the other side has been the prayerless evangelical missions movement sometimes, really committed to souls not going to hell, to getting the gospel to all nations, but sometimes neglecting prayer or just using it as a side blessing for what we're doing, the real stuff, which is preaching the gospel. I make the point all the time when I'm training guys here or discipling pastors here or training international guys that Paul prayed in proportion to preaching 1,000 to 1. He's praying thousands of times, day and night, and he would get to preach every now and then. And so I believe that both go together, and so did Paul, and so did Jesus. And so we want to see these things working together in a powerful way. How do we keep them connected with among us? Because again, we're either neglecting them or we're, you know, just doing one or the other. And I want to say this, I believe with all my heart that all of you are called to both of these things. This is not a spiritual gift issue, not a spiritual assignment. You're called at different levels. I'm called to have 9 babies. Not everybody in the room is a dad. You're called to have 8, some of them 8, some of them 3, some 1. You know, maybe adopt. I don't know what your call is. Your call is not the same, but you're still called, guys, to be fathers at some level, just being a man in this life. And so we want to obey what we're doing as we are all called to make disciples and to pray. How do we keep these connected? I think we have a vision for both. People lack vision often of what prayer can be, intimacy with the Lord, and calling and doing warfare as we do mission. Think of prayer as the Air Force work of cleaning the air. You know, we're praying and fighting the battle in the spirit realm and then going and doing missions as the ground troops where we actually do the physical stuff. 2, by obedience and doing them. This is on-the-job training. 3, by radically being committed to the centrality of them. That's a big deal. I see churches all the time, all of a sudden, have turned around and they're doing 5 to 10 things that were kind of connected to mission, committees going on, house churches going on that are dead as can be, you know, because we've always done it that way, and they've lost the centrality of prayer and mission. Prayer and mission. For us, everything is the supremacy of Jesus, Focus on him and prayer and missions among us. And so we've got to labor to do that. Number four is by accountability, have accountability among us for doing them both. I think we ought to be asking each other, are you giving yourself to prayer? And are you praying through and giving yourself to making disciples or being on mission in your neighborhood or in the nations? Whether you're in North Korea or you're in North El Dorado, it doesn't matter. We're all called to deal with what we're called to deal with. Number five, then lastly, is by practically linking them both. And here comes some of my challenge. My challenge to all of you is that you would link the two. It's not, I'm doing mission, then I throw prayer in there. My praying is connected to my mission. Yes, I'm having intimacy with the Lord. I want to do that. But I'm telling you, God wants people more than we'll gather in rooms and just have intimacy. He's thrusting people forward. We bring him glory when we worship him, and we want to do that. That's why we just did what we did. And we have a high priority daily of praying and worshiping the Lord. But listen, he's glorified also when we go out and we do the work of the ministry, when we go and make disciples, and we must do both. So I challenge us as a spiritual family to the marriage of these two activities in a practical and exaggerated way. I think everybody's looking for something else to do. If you can get a believer convinced that they're called to do, that's a big deal. Get disciples. You're to do more than consume. Come and religiously consume and invest in the place that helps you consume. When you get beyond that to, okay, wait a minute, I'm a royal priest, I'm called to ministry just like Sam, there's no difference really, except I have an abnormal job, you guys are all the normal ones, but when you get it that you're called to mission, then it's staying focused in that mission, you know, on what we're called to do, which is prayer and discipleship. So may we pray every day for ourselves and for our family to manifest the mission of disciple making. And I'll talk about this in a moment, but sometimes it's easy for me, and it's been easy for me to judge other groups and judge other ministries that I think are getting on 50 other things other than these two things. I'm pretty radically committed to them because I want Jesus coming back. But my heart is repenting. I'm maturing, staying passionate about what I'm called to without judging other people so much. Praise God. Thank you for your prayers. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be still radically committed to what we're called to do. So, my post-log in this is this. I want to say something about New Life. We've made a clear decision to be practically organic as opposed to organizational. Listen, people that are organizational and are buying buildings and spending millions of dollars and are using them for ministries, what you'll do? Praise God, God bless them, and may they do what they do. When they're using programs and organizations to disciple, may God bless them. Much impact has happened through denominations and through those kinds of churches. That's not our call. We're not called that. We're called to an organic, spirit-led, grassroots kind of movement. That's our call. And we can do that without judging others. We're called to radical simplicity in ministry. We don't want anything complicated. We got a new guy joining up with New Life in Wichita. Guy's from Saudi Arabia, got saved, got a great testimony, married to an American gal. He's training people to lead Muslims to Jesus. I just love it. My heart stirs. He's joined up. He went to dinner with Tim after our service last week. My brother was, this was awesome. How do I get involved with New Life? My brother says to him, well, you can be in charge and be a chairman of one of our many committees, which, if anybody knows, that's sarcasm. There's no committee. I have nothing for anyone to do. We don't have any committees. And we're working hard. Now, by the way, if somebody's called to have committees, go do it. And if it helps you do the mission, amen. We're not called to do that. We don't want encumbered with any of that. We want to see the activation of the priesthood of the body of Christ as opposed to emphasizing professionals doing the ministry. We want all of you activated and moving. And then lastly, as a confession, near me, I've been screwed up by George Mueller. I have been wounded and screwed up by George Mueller. Does everybody know George Mueller? Who knows George Mueller? George Mueller, you know, he did orphans in England, took care of them in the 1800s. Depression in England, tough times. But if you read his biographies, and some of you know this, the orphan ministry was not his main mission. The orphan ministry was a means to the end. People in England were not trusting believers that God was a living God who answered prayer. So he said, I'm going to set up an orphanage. I'm not going to ask for a dime, no mailers, no promotional materials, nothing. I'm going to go pray in a room alone, gather my team and pray, and we're going to take care of orphans by supernaturally God laying it on people's hearts. He did it for 50 years, took care of multi-thousands of orphans who came to know Jesus, turned into disciples, many of them did, and never asked for a penny in the normal way we would know that. That messed me up. It messed me up because I saw a radical call to prayer, and I got in me a desire for there to be something that would be a living testimony that we could do public ministry and be the body of Christ and not lean on the advertising abilities of man. I was meeting with one of the South Korean ministries out there, and he was telling me, he and I were lamenting how mega churches sometimes and mission agencies are hiring advertising specialists to get and marketing specialists to get the word out for their mission to grow. And we were both, just where we are, grieved by that and could never, ever do that. And we wanted to see a living, he never markets anything, and they get $5 million a year come in to help with the ministry in North Korea. We are committed to this kind of thing. We're committed to not advertising. We've never run an ad. We won't run an ad. How do people come? Well, look around and you'll see. It's you. It's us. It's us multiplying. It's the people of God doing the ministry is how the church grows. And this is never going to be a full barometer of whether we're growing or not. It's really the reality is Monday through Saturday. I love it. The house churches and the prayer meetings and in your home, what you're doing. You know, there's way more that we're connected with than what sits in a room on Sunday morning through the email and through me discipling other pastors and various other things. That's all relationally connected. So I wanted to say this to you again to remind you of what you've signed up with if you're hanging out with us, is we're pretty radically committed to simplicity and to praying and asking the Holy Spirit to do the ministry through the people of God, that you would do it. I don't need you to help me build an organization. I'm not called to do it. I'm not called to build any organizations. We're not going to hype and brand everything we see with New Life and Disciple Nations. We're not going to do it. What we want to see is you moving in the ministry. I think you'll be most happy, and God will get a great testimony when we obey and we do that. So we're going to pray for these things to happen among us, for God to help us to stay faithful to them. And it may fail. I don't know. It may succeed. I don't even know what that is. But we're going to trust that God's going to help us to do this. So, Father, in Jesus' name I pray for everyone in the room to help. Would you marry prayer and missions in their heart, prayer and discipleship? I pray that, Lord, you would stir our hearts with fresh vision of what can be accomplished by a people who really pray, persistently pray, faithfully pray, and what can happen through our lives in impacting other lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we choose not to advertise or choose not to use organizations and branding to promote your kingdom. I pray that, Lord, you use these lives. Start a grassroots movement in shopping malls, in Walmarts, in neighborhoods, in workplaces. God, show us all the mission field that's right in front of us. And I pray you help us multiply. Help us be fruitful and multiply. Inspire us to pray. Inspire us, Lord God, to make disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.